believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream.
This is the Cap Figure Podcast, episode 60. I'm Ryan DiPaolo. Who are you?
Tom McLaughlin.
Hi, Tom. What's going on?
Oh, hello.
So it's been a while since our last episode. We very apologize. Well, I'll speak for myself. I apologize. Tom doesn't really care about you listeners.
I don't.
So we have much to recap. We went to the Hall of Fame and the trade deadline came and went. Well, the non-waiver trade deadline.
Yes.
You know, we don't want to be like everyone in the media just spewing out lies, calling it the trade deadline. But before any of that, like usual for at least the first 99 episodes, Who wore number 60, bro?
What are we going to do at 100?
We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll just loop through again. I don't know. Or, yeah.
So 60, again, sets the bar extremely low or high, depending on how you want to look at it.
It sets the bar higher for shittiness.
There is only one player has ever worn number 60 more than 7 years, and that is Scott Schoenweiss, who played 12 years with a combined WAR of 3.34.
Wow, he's the second best Jew player of all time behind Hank Greenberg.
And then
Schoenweiss, you're not athletic. That's like Kyle's cousin Kyle from South Park. I'm big.
Well, you can actually make a case that Dallas Keuchel is the best number 60 of all time.
Yeah, man. Well, who else is there?
There's nobody else.
Jesus Christ, with your fucking pussy hot takes. That's like the easiest case to make, and you still say you could make the case. Just give me the fucking pizzazz, man. You make the case.
I mean, he is. He's the best one to wear 60.
That's what I want out of you.
But it is another number where, like, players come up and wear it, and then they're like, upgrade me. And among those players, we have Joey Votto, Matt Williams, Adam Wainwright, and Hanley Ramirez.
Does the Kike still wear 60?
No, none of them do. They wore it, like, when they got called up.
Dallas Keuchel's better than Joey Votto?
No, I'm saying the best player to wear it more than one-third of a season when they get called up.
What a weak hot take. You didn't even... Wait, how long did they wore it, like, no games?
Like, when they get called up in September for 1 month.
All right. But, I mean, but if you're making it less than a season, that's cheating. Who is the best of those guys, you think? Hanley or Votto? Whose career's been better?
Votto.
I mean, are you saying that... How much before this season would you still say that?
Yeah, I think so.
Hanley was so good. I mean, he's a shortstop. Dude, it's so ruined that he's a first baseman now, because now it's not even close. Like, this year, Joey Votto is probably going to be worth 5 more games than Hanley, right?
I mean, right now, if you look at WAR, it's 52 for Votto cumulatively versus 38 for Hanley.
Well, they're both...
And that bakes in the fact that he played shortstop, so that's a big difference.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's been hurt a lot, but yeah, no, you're right. I mean, there's no debate.
And Hanley has 2 more seasons.
Who else is next in WAR?
On this list?
Yeah.
What
does Kike have? Yo, he's been really good. I didn't realize how good he is, even though... I didn't realize his strikeout rate was as good as it is. I assumed he was, like, more of a ground ball pitcher, just looking at his, like, velocity and, you know, the way I think of him. But he has a lot of strikeouts. He is as good as any ace.
He's got a 15.5 through 6 years. He's only really come on since, you know, 2015.
Well, so then your hot take is out the window, because I'd rather have one week of Joey Votto than 3 months of the Kike. All right, anyway, so episode 60, bro. Mad stuff happened. I guess, well, we went to the Hall of Fame, Tom and I. Tom had been a year ago. It was my first time. We'll talk about the trip, I think, is interesting. And then we'll talk about the trade deadline. Or what should we do? Should we do it in reverse? You think people care more about the trade deadline? People care more about the trade deadline.
Yeah.
It's been decided by Tom's look at me. So, maybe I think the biggest deal is where we're going tonight. We're going to see the Mets play the Dodgers, and it's August 4th, Friday, and Yu Darvish is pitching for the Dodgers. What the heezy, bro?
Yeah,
That's the name of the segment. What the heezy, bro?
It was interesting. I think the Dodgers are kind of in the same situation as the Cubs were last year, where they have this extremely long drought for a championship. They're obviously, they have a championship roster, and so adding Darvish kind of puts them, I would say, in a league of their own in the NL.
But like, they already
like,
were, though.
Kind of like Chapman was last year. Yeah, you know, I mean.
But I guess so were the Cubs last year. The Cubs were already way better than anyone in the NL last year.
And for the Dodgers, look, they held on to their top three prospects. Darvish is a rental, so they got him for a pretty affordable price. So
well, what?
It's a great move for the Dodgers.
You're saying affordable is anything less than giving up any of the top three prospects, right?
Yeah, I mean,
no, that's fair. If that's what you want to say, that's totally fair.
Because then, if you look at their roster, at the talent they have, you know, only the top prospects probably even have a shot of starting sometime soon for them. It's not a reason to just dump the rest of your prospects, but you know, you hold on to the best guys. They held on to Alex Verdugo, Julio Urias. He's an outfielder. You hold on to Urias, obviously Bellinger, Seager, they're not going anywhere. So, you know, you upgrade, I think Yu Darvish is a pretty significant upgrade. I wouldn't want to face him in the second game of a series.
Dude, they're amazing now. They have a four-man ace rotation. They have Rich Hill, Alex Wood, Clayton Kershaw, and Yu Darvish. They're amazing. Like, I way prefer them to the Astros, no matter how good the Astros are hitting the bat. That's not much of a hot take, though, because they've passed the Astros for the favorite to win the World Series. Right now, like on my bookie's website, they're at plus 270, meaning if you bet 100, you get 270. The Astros are plus 350. I mean, this is not just because of the Darvish trade, though. This is also including the McCullers' slight decline, right? And what's his name?
Yeah, I think the Astros...
Keiko looking weird when he came back.
I think the Astros, relative to other teams in the AL, have... They've sort of taken a step back.
Back up 1 inch. You back up.
Okay.
You're good.
They've sort of taken a step back. I thought they were the clear front runner ahead of everyone, and other teams in the AL got better, and the Astros did not.
But they're still got to be the favorite by far. Like how, like, do you think that anyone's going to beat them?
Yeah, well, I'm saying relative, I think they were way ahead. And at this point,
well, they were making this point talking about the JD Martinez trade so the Diamondbacks traded for JD Martinez and the Tigers, and people think that the Tigers didn't get much in return, but the point was made, and it's a good one, that, you know, the market one is not that hot. He's a great hitter, though. But anyway, but for, like, outfield hitters, the market was only the Astros and Dodgers, who are both super up in their division.
Here's why the Astros are not the favorite in my book. So let's look at, there's five teams in contention in the AL. Yankees, Red Sox, Royals, Indians, Astros.
That's your five?
So that's probably the five. I mean, you can kind of count out the Twins and the Devil Rays.
You were just telling me on our drive home that you would bet on the Rays.
I would, because they're
a
good
value. You don't
like
them better than the Royals?
But looking at the current standings, they have a better shot of getting in than the Royals.
Standings aside, don't you think that the Rays are... You mean
we're getting on a sidetrack.
You just said they have a better chance than the Royals. You mean the Royals have a better chance than the
Rays?
Yes. All right, whatever. Go on. So those are the five teams. Go ahead.
So when we look at teams, we look at three things: hitting, starting pitching, bullpen.
Yeah.
Astros, yeah, number one in hitting. Bullpen, they're probably number four or number five. Starting pitching, with McCullers pitching the way he is, I would put them at number four or number five as well.
Well, they're definitely better than the Royals at starting. You don't think
okay,
so?
Okay, so then they're number four.
And then, yeah, the Red Sox are better with... Well, dude, Porcello's been so bad and Price is out. All they have is Sale and...
Who's the best pitcher in the league.
Of course, which is huge. But Keuchel plus McCullers is better than Sale. Like,
McCullers has a 9 ERA the past 2 months, and right now he's on the DL.
Yeah, but that's an arbitrary cutoff. I mean, but I understand.
It's not an arbitrary cutoff. It lasts 2 months. That's six starts, 9 ERA.
But whatever. Okay, and then so what about, you don't like, I don't even know who the Astros, who would be their third starter, like,
Colin McHugh.
Colin McHugh, yeah. I mean, and he's not been that good.
So, you know, hitting, yes, they're the best team. But also, look at who they're missing right now. They're missing Springer and Correa, two of their best players.
Isn't that more evidence that they'll get better, though? Like, if McCullers gets healthy and the two of them? I mean, they're still...
That's an assumption. I'm saying right now, they're going to make the playoffs for sure. But they seem like a team to me that has not improved at all. Their bullpen is atrocious.
So who do you like in the AL then? Because you can get good odds because the Astros are still favored, like I said, to win the AL.
I would take the Indians.
The Indians?
Yeah.
Okay, so right now, where are they? They're at plus 300, tied with the Red Sox for second. Again, that means you bet 100, you win 300. And the Astros are plus 175. The Yankees are plus 450 to win the AL. And where are your boys? Where are the Royals are plus 1250. As compared to the blah, blah, blah Rays at plus 2,500 with a bunch of other teams. Who do you so in the NL, the Dodgers clearly way further, but they're, so let me know if you would like any of these bets, either with or without the framing of the trade deadline. But the Diamondbacks, I think, are interesting, especially getting JD Martinez. And as we talked about, Greinke is having an amazing season that's sort of flying under the radar somehow.
Yeah, he got lit up yesterday, but still. Yeah.
Robbie Ray's killing it, even though he's out right now. You know, Godley's decent. But just their 1 and 2, those are great players. But that's matched up with their offense. They are the Astros of the NL, sort of.
Yes.
You know, given that the Rockies play at Coors, you know what I mean? Like, just raw numbers, I would, maybe the Rockies have a better offense. But I like the Diamondbacks. They're at plus 1,000.
The Diamondbacks and Rockies wild card game is going to be an interesting run line. It's going to be maybe one of the highest run lines we've seen in playoff history.
Well, it'll be like...
Especially if it's at Coors.
Yeah, I was going to say. It'll probably be 13 runs at Coors and maybe like 11.5 at Arizona. Both place the ball flies, sort of. Arizona is much more of a hitter park than I thought it was. Like,
yeah,
I don't
like
really
the number
realize.
Two. Yeah.
The Cubs and the Nationals are both tied at plus 300, which is funny to me. You could have gotten a great price on the Cubs. No, you couldn't have, right? The Cubs price didn't change that much, you said, before the All-Star break, which is silly. And like I said, the Dodgers are plus 140. I don't know, man.
The Dodgers were 5.5 back going into the All-Star break. They've made up 7 games in ground. I think they're up 2, so 7.5 games in ground, and their line hasn't changed at all.
Yeah, that's...
What's going on, Vegas?
That is wacky. The AL is funny, though, because, right, it's like you would assume that the Diamondbacks and Rockies, rightfully so, are so much more expensive. The three division winners should be on their own level of betting, right? Plus 300 or higher. And then the two wild card teams are at plus 1,000. But in the AL, the Red Sox and Yankees are both like in there. You know what I mean? The Yankees at plus 450 seem like a stupid bet because they're probably not going to win the division. But either way, one or the other should have worse odds. Maybe that's built into the Red Sox, but...
Well, I think the difference there between looking at the Diamondbacks and the Rockies versus the Red Sox and the Yankees is the difference between having to play in the wild card game and one of the teams out of the Red Sox and Yankees are going to make the...
That makes sense.
And that's obviously like a huge advantage.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So that implies, given the fact that the Red Sox may have to play in the wild card game, which is probably, like, if you knew the division winners and who was going to be in the wild card, that's as big a factor that should more than double your odds almost, right?
I agree.
Because you have to, not only do you have to actually win another 50-50 coin flip, but you have to use your ace.
Yep.
Right? And then that hurts you more in the next series. So I would charge, if I were Vegas, the cost to bet on a team in the wild card game to win the World Series would be more than double as opposed to if they were a division winner, right?
Agree.
But so this tells me then that Vegas really likes the Red Sox, right? Because they're only up, what, a game and a half or something?
Game and a half.
And they're at plus 300, the same as the Indians, you know, to win the AL. but it also tells me they like the Yankees because they're at plus 450. I know, like you said, one of them will win the division, but this is as compared to the Cubs, right, in the NL, who are definitely winning that division.
Of course.
And they're only at plus 300, right? Or the Nationals, who are definitely winning that division, and they're only plus 300.
Right.
Red Sox could very well lose and get in. So Vegas likes both those teams right now. So any other trades? Yeah. Oh, Stephen Vogt got traded. No, Luke Roy got traded for a player to be named later. That's pretty pathetic. That's pretty crazy.
An amazing fall from grace.
Yeah, it's amazing in 1 year how stuff changes, because last year it was like that was a great – it's like the team that upgraded the most. So which of these trades at the deadline do you think will be that next year? Like, we'll look back and be like, oh, that was silly. That was unnecessary.
That's an interesting question. You know, there were a lot fewer trades than I thought there would be at the deadline. And so what trade do you think – you're basically asking me what trade did a team make that they overpaid for a player?
The Cubs got Justin Wilson, right?
The Cubs did get Justin Wilson, but they definitely did need a left-handed arm out of the bullpen.
I love that.
That's a good trade.
I'm going through all these top teams and seeing if they added pieces. Did the Indians make any moves? I don't think they did.
I guess the only one I can think of, but this is, I think, even like a negligible trade, is like the Astros acquired Francisco Liriano, who is a lefty starter, and now they're moving him to the bullpen. He got rocked last night, but they didn't really give up that much to get him. So,
you can't even say
that.
No, of the big ones, we'll say of the J.D. Martinez, the
Sonny
Yankees
Gray.
Two trades, the Sonny Gray, or the Todd Frazier, Dave Robertson, Kane Lee
I
deal.
Think the deal that we can look back on where we might think it's a little bit silly is the Yankees giving up Blake Rutherford, who has such a high ceiling. But again, as we discussed, like, all the players that the Yankees traded were...
Blake Rutherford went in which deal? In the Frazier one?
Yeah, so it was the Yankees got Frazier, Kane Lee, and Robertson. The headliner from that trade was Blake Rutherford, who's in Class A. He was a first-round pick last year. He was the best hitter in the draft. And he was a prospect that I did not like to see be given up. But the Yankees had so much outfield depth in the minors that it made sense. And you got Kane Lee, who is under control for 3 years. He was the best player the Yankees got back in that trade to me. They filled a huge hole at third base. And David Robertson pitching the seventh inning is, to me, he's probably the best seventh inning guy now in the league.
What trade do you like better? Would you rather have for the stretch Sonny Gray or these three guys? Like, would you rather have upgraded at third base, Robertson, regardless of what you gave up? Just
which players make the bigger, which group makes the bigger impact?
Yeah, which do you think? I know it's hard because it's 3-1, but one is a starter, is like, and the Yankees needed the rotation help with Pineda out.
I think that the first trade will have a greater overall impact because they added two more elite bullpen arms.
So you'd rather make that trade. You have to choose one. And you got a third baseman, even though you still need a first baseman also, whatever. How about you, Darvish? Like, I mean, I don't know, man. You don't like him, though, right?
No, I love you, Darvish.
I don't know. I was trying to trade him to you for some pieces, and you were shitting on him.
Yeah,
in our fantasy league.
No,
what's up with that?
I do. I really do like you, Darvish. I still think he's one of the 10 best pitchers in the league.
I'm going to hold all this against you after the show when we negotiate.
But you're not going to get Kershaw
for him. No, of course not. I don't want Kershaw for him. I want Kershaw for him and DeGrom maybe and something else. This was the argument you were telling me, that Clayton Kershaw is not worth DeGrom and Darvish.
He's not.
That's insane.
In a keeper league, he's not.
That's insane. No. It was about this year, not keeper. Even though that's why the trade will be made. It's about just down the stretch, because you said an extra roster spot, that them two do not equal Kershaw just this year.
They don't.
How?
You have a player who is like
standard deviations.
Standard deviations better than anyone else. So if I take him plus, you know, a pitcher that has had a good start or two off the waiver wire, they're better than, you know, two above average players.
Yeah, I guess.
And then I'd rather have the one player who's great as a keeper going forward.
All right. Yeah, I forgot that's what made you convince me the last time when we were discussing it again, that you were like, anyone I could get on the waiver wire plus him is better than DeGrom and Darvish. But you were hating on, maybe, I guess I see now your true colors, that was just negotiating tactics. You're hating on Darvish.
No, I still great, do like dude. Darvish. He's a great pitcher.
He's awesome, bro. He's awesome. It's funny, though, because... I wish I bet on the Dodgers right before they are, like, as soon as they made that trade, check my bookie site if he didn't update it, because they're so good now. They're definitely, I think they're gonna win the World Series. Them or the Red Sox for sure. Who's your pick
the
right
Red
now?
Sox?
Yeah, dude,
no
Chris
way.
Sale is so good.
I think the Red Sox.
Their offense can be so good.
I think the World Series is gonna be Cleveland versus the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers have to be the favorite at this point. Yeah, I think the AL is obviously more wide open. What will be the only team? It's tough because the Cubs are on fire right now. I don't think they're nearly as good as they were last year. The thing is, we have to see is if Steven Strasburg can get back to any sort of semblance of like when he's good, then the Nationals become really interesting.
Yeah, they're a great sleeper
team. Because then you have Scherzer, Strasburg, and Gio Gonzalez is pitching
really
better than
year.
He ever has.
Yeah,
yeah,
man. And they're often, you know, obviously Anthony Rendon and Ryan Zimmerman are having crazy breakout seasons.
So that
Bryce
that,
is back to Bryce.
That'll be the most interesting division series to me is Chicago versus the Nationals.
Yeah.
Because that's going to happen.
Yeah. And I like the Nationals today, right? Don't you?
I would take the Nationals better pitching.
It's hard.
But the bullpen is garbage.
Yeah, I know. Sean Doolittle helps. And who's the other dude they got? I don't
Madsen.
Know.
Madsen.
Yeah, I mean, they're not that. But you're right. I forget. Every year during the season, I forget that the postseason, the bullpen is different. You know, I want to remember that this year because it's like, especially the last season, how everybody got used for the first time, like pushed to the limit.
This is not as a homer, but I do like what Cashman did because we basically have five great relievers out of the pen. So if there is, like, let's say we're in the wild card, you use the starter, he gives you four innings, and then you have Canely, Robertson, Chad Green, Betances, Chapman.
Jordan Montgomery now, too.
Yeah, and Jordan Montgomery.
By getting Gray, you also got another bullpen arm in a way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because
you got to move Jordan Montgomery, who can get strikeouts like your mom's. But that also, to your point, now that we're talking about, you know, bullpens in the postseason, that makes me like more what the Astros did. And every team basically got better in the bullpen, more or less, except the Indians, you know, I don't know. But all right, so
but they
how
already
about this?
Have Miller,
right, right. They
Allen,
don't need to, right.
And Shaw.
They're good. How about this? I'll for even money, I get the Astros and the Red Sox, and you get everybody else.
Yeah.
You want to bet $100?
You mean like everybody else in the whole league?
To win the
AL. World Series? Who are you getting?
The Astros and the Red Sox.
No, then I'm not doing that.
I'll do a reverse. No, I wouldn't. I would do it. Fine. What do you think that line should be then? If I got them to the Red Sox and the Astros, who you think Cleveland's going to win, you've said. You also get the Yankees. The Royals are, I guess, not really relevant, but...
Yeah, I'll bet you $20.
For even money? Well, we could bet more, and I'll lay you odds.
Nah, that's
come
all right.
Come on, no, I want to be a
degenerate. I'll do $20 straight up.
Fine, $20. Shake on it. All right. Oh, weak shake.
Your little infatuation with the Red Sox because you're a Yankees hater.
No, I'm not a Yankees hater. I like that. I just...
Eduardo Rodriguez.
Dude, I know. All right. Whatever. I just...
You don't see me, like, all of a sudden stroking the Nationals just because of the Mets.
Porcello sucks. And David Price isn't coming back. I don't know. But why are they favored doing the division then? Why are they going to beat your Yankees? Why are they good?
Because they're a game and a half ahead. That's why they're favored to win the division.
Yeah, but aside from that, why are they a better team? A game and a half is nothing. You don't think they're a better team?
I don't think they. I think the Yankees got better. I think they were very close, and I think the Yankees took a step ahead of the Red Sox.
So right now you think the Yankees are better than the Red Sox?
Yes.
I guess the staff is sort of like Sale is Tanaka can suck. Any of your pitcher, like you don't have any. Who pitches the wild card game right now for you guys? Severino?
Severino.
For sure, you think?
It's going to be either him or Gray.
No Tanaka, no chance.
No chance.
Even if he has another like 15 strikeout, 8-inning game, like
no chance.
Yeah,
he
followed
that
home
up with. Look, Severino, he's not gonna win a Cy Young, but 3.10 ERA with like what is it? I think he has like 13 strikeouts per 9 innings.
Yeah, he's been amazing.
That's ace.
And he's going deep. That's the thing. You know, everybody when he came up was like, oh, he's only going to be a guy who can go five. His stamina was a concern. He's going 8 and 7 innings a lot of the games.
So,
but maybe if Girardi doesn't, you know, blow out young arms.
So if the Yankees play the Royals in the wild card game, who you gonna root for?
Oh, definitely.
It's
the
an
Yankees.
Equal level of hate.
No, I don't hate the Yankees that much. I'll root for the Yankees, of course. But that's a good question. You know what's funny is that they had a rainout, Yankees Royals, and they're playing the last game of the season now, a makeup game. You know, and that
I didn't know that.
Yeah. After the regular season, that's the last game, so that might be like a double wild card or a game to decide who gets in the wild card game, right? If anybody catches up to the Royals, like the Mariners or somebody.
So another question, I'm the interviewer here, this episode. So, how many losing seasons are the Royals going to have in a row after this season?
Well, I thought it would start this season because I bet $100 that they'd win less than 76 games, and that looks pretty bad now. I think that's a great question, man. Maybe.
Well, let's
how
review.
How about them versus the Pirates? Who's going to have more losing seasons in a row or something?
Okay, so this offseason, the Royals, the following players are free agents. Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, Jason Vargas.
Wow.
Left on the team will be Danny Duffy, Kelvin Herrera,
Salvador
Perez, and maybe Whit Merrifield.
And Alex Gordon on that great deal.
And Alex Gordon. So that team, to me, let's say they'll probably re-sign one of them.
Yeah, I have no clue. Hosmer? I would love the Mets to get Kane, man. That would be so sweet. The Mets should. But I get scared with guys who speed is one of their skills. You know, like Michael
Ellsbury.
Bourne or Ellsbury. Those are the two recent like center fielders recently who were like on the free agent market, and they just fall off a cliff.
I'll
but
say,
Kane is better than his speed. I don't know.
I'll
who
say
would you
the,
sign?
I'll say the Royals are going to win 70 games next year.
Wait, and who are they going to sign, do you think? I haven't read anything. This is just us totally guessing.
I would sign Moustakas.
Really? The other guys have been better before this season, though. Moustakas has been, even though he's a second overall pick or whatever, he's been disappointing until this year.
Yeah.
How come do you say him?
I think that Hosmer will, and I don't like Hosmer that much.
Me too.
I don't think he's really like.
I don't care about a non-power hitting first baseman who's good defensively, but even if he has a high OPS, you know?
Yes, and I'm afraid with Kane. I love Lorenzo Cain. I'm afraid for the same reasons as you are. If he ends up losing some of that speed and then has to go to the left or right field, he all of a sudden loses like so much value.
Right. And even though he's a great fielder, it's like, you know, Jason Hayward is not, it's such a big difference. I don't even know how old Kane is. Let me check. I think he's 30, no?
Probably at least 30.
All right. So we went to the Hall of Fame, bro. It was cool. You had been before, but he's 31, Kane. So yeah, I actually don't want the Mets to sign him. His OPS is 771 right now.
What if they signed Hosmer? Would you all of a sudden
become a Hosmer fan?
Yeah.
Well, it depends how much we paid him. If we paid him too much, I'd resent him until he hit his first home run, and then I would be on board. I don't know. Like, I guess it's always like that. Were you a Damon fan right away when the Yankees got him?
No.
You hated him for a bit?
I mean, Ellsbury was a little bit different because I was like really psyched that we got him and he had like an amazing season, and
that
he's gradual. Him and Damon have gone opposite directions for me. Like, Ellsbury right now, you know, I can't, it feels shitty to say, but, like, I hope he gets injured. Because he's taking up a 25-man roster spot that he doesn't deserve.
Yeah, well, at least Joe Girardi's been having the balls to bench him, right? Which
yeah,
takes
yeah.
some guts if you have a
Frazier,
contract like that.
Frazier is much better than him. Anybody who's watched a couple of games will say exactly the same thing. Like, Frazier's a better hitter. He has a better arm in the outfield. Maybe he doesn't cover like as much range, but we have multiple players who can play center field. So effectively, Ellsbury has no value on this team. Aaron Hicks is much better than Ellsbury defensively. He's a switch hitter.
Brett Gardner's as fast. Like the one thing that Ellsbury at least could do better than anybody was, run and steal bases. But at this point, Gardner's as good a base runner as him, maybe slightly worse, right?
Yeah, Jacoby.
Well, so your reaction, you're going, oh, is exactly the reason I'd stay. It depends on how much we paid Hosmer, because if it was some giant contract, then it's too scary. Like, I guess no matter who it is, I'm going to be scared, but a first baseman or a,
you know.
Actually, Hosmer wouldn't be bad, dude. I don't know. I don't think they're going to sign him.
Because Dominic Smith is coming up.
Yeah. No, I mean, the Mets need an outfielder. It'd be great to get a center fielder. What kind of money do you think Kane will get? Like, Jody McDonald, somebody called right after I dropped you off, and then we'll talk about the Hall of Fame, was saying, oh, I would love them to get Kane, but, the guy threw out, like, you know, you could give Kane $10 million a year, and it's like, yo, he's getting way more than that.
He's going to get, I would...
His career stats just for... He hits .286, his OPS is .756. He's 31 years old. He's a great fielder, though, still. And he steals, 19, 20 bases a year. This year, he's only got caught once on 19 steals, so that's pretty good.
He'll get 4 years, $75 million.
4 years, $75 million.
So that's about $18 per year, $19. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think he's gonna get more years and less money. I think he's just gonna someone will offer him. Someone will do. Yeah, we'll give you 4 years, $75 million. But if he's smart, he'll do 6 years for $80 million. Like, I think it'll be something like that. Like a longer deal. With lower per year pay. All right, so we went to the Hall of Fame. You've been before, but what are your thoughts this time? Anything new stood out to you, bro?
Where is Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens? I couldn't see them.
Steroid era, though. It was cool. They had these silly questionnaires that it was an interactive video screen. And you walk in and it's how do you... Are steroids part of the game? And then the choices were quotes from fans, but they were oversimplified, stupid quotes. Like, it was like, do steroids matter? And one was like, yes, they make anyone into a superhero. And the other was like, no, they don't mean anything. I eat steroids for breakfast. It's like, okay, I guess this one. But they do acknowledge it.
The other one is, so they have this section in there where it shows every team's locker, mm-hmm. like a locker with
it shows the
best
retired
players.
Numbers and a jersey hanging and some memorabilia, like the cleats Jimmy Rollins wore in one game. He won the MVP, blah, blah, blah.
So I don't know if they're waiting. I don't know what's going on, but Billy Butler's spot on the Royals won.
Oh, boy.
It's weird to me. Why is he not in there?
Dude, he's next to Barry Bonds in the missing. It's an atrocity. I don't know.
It's unfair to Billy.
I wanted to see a section for the midget who took an at-bat, and I didn't see that. The other thing I learned was that the Negro Leagues are called the Negro League. I thought it was one Negro League. It's called the Negro Leagues, not because they're misspeaking, because there were multiple Negro Leagues. There was the Western Negro Baseball Association and some other thing. And I don't know if you guys know about this, but there was this guy, Jackie Robinson, and it was hard for him. He was a black guy who actually played baseball, and he had a really hard time. So I don't know if you know about that, but it's pretty cool. I wouldn't have known it if I didn't go to the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so how do you feel about his struggle?
It was crazy. Did you they didn't like him because the color of his skin. And people thought that Negro had no place in baseball. Yo, it was wild. I think every team should have to retire his number to honor him.
We can only hope and pray that will happen.
Dude,
in the future.
Something like where once a year everyone wears his number, and then besides that it's retired. Like, what? Where is the people don't know about this guy? This is crazy.
Jackie.
I wonder if they didn't have a thing for Hank Conger, who broke the Asian barrier. No, they actually did have a Japanese section. I think of Hank Conger as different from all the Japanese guys for some reason, because I don't know. Maybe there's not many position players, or there's only a couple. What's your what did you think of the Asian mural? Nah, they didn't have one, but I don't know. The only things missing, I thought, were Barry Bonds. They did cover the steroid stuff, though, well. Like, I was I was totally impressed by it. Maybe Barry Bonds is such a belligerent asshole that they didn't want him in there specifically. But even though they address steroids in general, you're right. I didn't see anything of Roger Clemens in there, really, right?
Nothing.
There's no real, like, things on the specific guys.
Yeah, and he had, like, multiple 20 strikeout games. I don't know.
They did have a thing about just one of his games, actually. They did have a piece of one of his great games. But
the coolest thing to me in the whole museum was that they had the pitch book that Boris used when A-Rod was a free agent.
Yeah, I told my dad about that. So it was like, it looks like a coffee table book. Like, it was really big, a giant coffee table looking book with tab sections. And I guess they unfolded it so we could see each chapter, but it was really nice looking, and it was from 2001 or 2002 offseason, and the chapters were A-Rod versus the top 10 paid players in 2001, Barry Bonds versus Ken Griffey Jr. versus A-Rod, and it was like A-Rod versus other shortstops in history. Like, it was a whole binder. I would pay $250 for that right now. And this is what Scott Boras sent to every team when A-Rod was about to set the biggest deal ever in baseball history for the first time.
And that's why Boris is the best agent.
And then he rebroke his own record. Yeah. It's funny because my first thought is like, wow, that's a lot of effort. But it's like you're about to make $30 million for making it. So,
if not more.
The other thing was, in all seriousness, with the black stuff, that they didn't sugarcoat it like you said before. They didn't make it PC. They showed like some columnist drew a horrible racist cartoon and all the stuff about why they can't play baseball. There was the Tommy Lasorda scouting report of Tom Seaver, who pitched 70. Do you think that's possible?
70 miles an hour? No.
Can that be possible?
I don't think it can be possible.
Do you think he was rating that on? Do you think that might have been a scale of 80-20 or whatever?
Now that you mention it, that has to be what it was. It has to be the 0-80 scale.
Yeah. Because it's funny, the turn, it's so old time. He was like, boy has good life on his fastball. Boy has grit. He wants to beat you.
Boy likes to win. I like it.
And then the contract to get Babe Ruth, it was like, herein beyeth declare that Babeth Ruth III will be
for
property
cash
of the Yankees for this and cash considerations. I didn't know that he was that big of a star. I thought that some of his star power came like after his career. I didn't realize like he owned the world then, and baseball wasn't even televised yet, really.
Yeah, no, he was a great player for the Red Sox. He was still the best player in the league.
And he was in Silent Pictures, too. Did you know
silent
that?
Silent Pictures?
Yeah, he was. You didn't see him in the Silent Pictures?
No, I didn't. I don't even know what Silent Pictures are.
Movies without
okay.
The silent films.
Oh, I see. Yeah, he was a big movie star.
Come on, what else you got, bro? Don't bail on me yet.
That's all I got for you
done.
Today.
You're a dick. What the hell else? There's something else that was fungy. Pudge is a dickhead. Pudge and Jeff Bagwell just got in.
Even though they both did steroids.
Yeah, that's right. And Mike Piazza had back knee, and he got in last year. Ken Griffey Jr. apparently was a really good dude. I didn't know he hit 630 home runs because I wasn't a baseball fan until recently. And the way people talk about his career is as if it was like lost potential. But 630 home runs is fulfilling that potential. Why do people talk about him like that?
Well, just because there are a few players. It's the same way we sort of view Bryce Harper right now. Like, the natural talent is just so amazing. You see this kind of player once every, what, like maybe 10, 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Number one overall pick, started off his career unbelievably, and then, you know, he had a couple of seasons where he got injured and there was sort of a fall off. You know, like a lot of players later in their career, like Ortiz, they end up being a DH, they put up good numbers, and that really never happened with Griffey to the extent that it probably could have. Maybe he retired a couple of years earlier. I think the expectation was with Griffey the last couple of years in Seattle and then even his first few years in Cincinnati that he was going to break like every record.
Yeah, okay. So then he would be a bit of a disappointment. I guess, you know, remember A-Rod? Everybody thought he was going to break the record, man.
Should have.
That's weird. It's so funny that his career is over. Like, we're standing here and his career is over, and when the Yankees signed him to a second deal, it was like they put clauses in there because they knew it was going to happen. This is the bonus you get when you break the record.
Yep.
It's pretty wild,
He's
man.
Still
How
getting
stuff
paid.
Just changes. Pujols has a chance, actually, because they pay him so much. The Angels suck. They're going to keep him batting, right? And he sells out for home runs. He's going to climb the leaderboard over the next couple years. So that's it, yo. Leave us a tweet. Eat us a beat. Your mom's is the palms and Tom's is the psalms.